from our Christian friend a copy of the Bible. She was very pleased with this wonderful gift, a Bible. Perhaps it was on the first Sunday of the new year that she was sitting at the fireside reading that Bible. Her father was a very religious man, and he sat in the armchair listening to the radio. He had the wireless set turned very loudly, and the little girl couldn't concentrate on her reading, and so she turned to her father and said, "Oh, Daddy, please turn down that radio. I want to hear God speaking to me." That's how we should read the Bible, isn't it? I want to hear God speaking to me. We're going to read in Hebrews, first of all, in the second chapter. Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Chapter 5, please. Hebrews 5, verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Jude, the second last book of the Bible, the little epistle of Jude. Verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. May God bless these public readings from his holy word. A few years ago, I received a written invitation from a group of young African people to come and address their young people's meeting. In the letter of invitation, I was also requested to speak on a given subject. These young African people, they wanted me to come and speak to them on the subject of salvation. Now, nothing was dearer to my heart than to speak on that very theme. And when I read the letter, it seemed very simple. Come and speak on salvation. I took down my Bible concordance when preparing for that meeting, and I looked up the word "save" and the word "salvation," and I found, to my surprise, that the word "save" or "salvation" appears in the Bible no less than 1,500 times. Now, that fact alone surely convinces us that salvation is the great theme, the great message of the Bible itself. Indeed, I would go so far to say that the Bible has been given to us by God to answer just one question. inquiring, what must I do to get right with God? What must I do to have my sins forgiven? What must I do to attain heaven at last? What must I do to obtain eternal life? But that question was never more aptly expressed when one day a man at the point of committing suicide cried out, "Sir, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?" Now that's the one question the Bible has been given to us to answer. Salvation is the message of the Bible from beginning to end. And this book, which was written over a period of 1600 years, has been given to us by God just to answer that question. I wonder if there's someone tonight and you are asking that question. Perhaps you've never expressed the question audibly, but deep down in your heart, you would like to know how to be saved. Now you're just the person I have come to speak to. We'll allow the other people to listen, but I'm speaking to the person in this meeting tonight who would like to know how to be saved. I've come to this gospel service tonight to make known God's way of salvation. Now, if you observe closely the reading of the scriptures, you will have noticed that in each of the passages that we read together, we have the word salvation. But salvation has an adjective describing it in each of those passages. In the first passage it was called great salvation. In the second passage it was called eternal salvation. And in the third passage it was called common salvation. Now when I speak about salvation tonight, I'm talking about something that I have myself. I have salvation, and it's great, it's eternal, it is common. I have this in common with thousands and millions of people. Now, I want to tell you tonight why I think this salvation is great. There are three reasons why I think God's salvation is great. First of all, it is great because it is for all. God's salvation is for all men. There's a wonderful verse in the Bible and it says this: "The grace of God that bringeth salvation to all men has appeared." My dear friends, that verse teaches us this, that God has brought salvation within the reach of every man, every boy, and every girl. If you would like to be saved tonight, you may. You could have salvation right here, this first Sunday night of 1971. Salvation's for all men. You remember that the Lord Jesus, the wonderful Savior, after he had died for our sins and rose again, and just before he returned to heaven, he gathered his followers around him and he said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned." Now, my dear friend, listen to this. Jesus said the gospel, this message of salvation, is for every creature. Now, if it's for every creature, it means it's for you. It means for me. Sometimes when I'm preaching, particularly in the open air, over there in the Republic of Ireland, in the Great O'Connell Street, we have wonderful open air meetings. And sometimes young men will shrug their shoulders and they will say, "Ah, that's all right, but it's not for me. It's not for me. It's not for me." I wonder if there's someone here tonight and you said, "Well, my father's a safe man, my mother, my brother, but it's not for me." You perhaps have never said that audibly, but you've thought in your heart and mind. I want to tell you tonight that you're wrong. This salvation is for you. It's for you. You may reject this salvation. You may refuse this salvation. You may neglect this salvation. But that cannot alter the fact that God is wonderful love. God in His great mercy, God in His matchless grace, has provided salvation for you. If you are not saved, it's not because there's no salvation for you. God has made salvation possible. God has provided salvation for you. And it's here for you tonight, if you would like to have it. And so, God's salvation is great, first of all, because it is for all men. It's not for a special class. It's not for a privileged nation. God's salvation is for all men, all women, every boy, every girl. And if you don't have it, you can have it tonight. But then there's another reason why God's salvation is great. God's salvation is great not only because it's for all men, it is great because it is easily obtained by anyone. God's salvation is for all, and it is easily obtained by anyone. Oh, of course, there are things in our world, and they're there for everybody, but some people seem to get them easier than others. For example, this world's wealth is there for everybody, but some people seem to get it easier than others. But God's salvation is not like that. God's salvation is easily obtained by anyone. If you would really like to be saved tonight, you could have it very simply. Listen to this verse from the Bible. "By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God." God's salvation is a gift. I have salvation. I've had it since I was a boy, just 15 years of age. It's great. And I received it simply as a gift from God. And that's how anyone who has salvation obtained it. It can't be secured in any other way. You can only have it as a gift. Now, God's salvation is a gift. That means that anyone can have it. A little boy can put out his chubby little hand and receive a gift. An old man with one foot in the grave can put out his bony hand and accept the gift. A completed, to put out the white soft hand and accept the gift. A hard working, laboring man can put out his hard, calloused hand and receive a gift. Anyone can receive a gift. You were receiving gifts just a few days ago at Christmas time. My dear friend, God is offering you a gift tonight. It's the greatest gift of all. It's the gift of salvation. If I had come to your door at Christmas time with a beautiful parcel containing a gift that I wish to pass on to you, all nicely tied up, and I knocked at your door and I held out this gift, you slammed the door in my face and turned away. That would be a great insult to me. You would hurt me terribly. My dear friend, that's what many people are doing with God. God is offering you a great gift tonight. Are you going to turn your back upon God? Are you going to say, I don't want it? Mr. D.L. Moody, a great American evangelist, once visited the city of Dublin. He addressed large gatherings of people. And at his meetings one night, there was a wealthy Dublin horse racing man, the owner of racing horses. He was a wealthy man. And he listened to Mr. Moody preaching the same gospel one night. And he said to one of the ushers, I would like to have an interview with that preacher. He said, well, that can be arranged. And after the meeting, the wealthy horse race owner was introduced to the American evangelist, and they had a quiet conversation together. And in that conversation, Mr. Moody was explaining to this Dubliner that God's salvation was a gift, and all he had to do was to receive it as such. And the wealthy Dubliner looked at the preacher and said, it's too cheap. It's too cheap. And he turned away. My dear friend, I want to tell you in this meeting tonight that God's salvation is not cheap. I want to tell you that this salvation is a costly thing. It's offered free to you tonight. You can have it as a gift tonight, but it costs God a whole lot. How much did it cost God? Oh, my dear friend, you can have this salvation tonight, the forgiveness of sin, the gift of eternal life. Call it what you like, you can have it tonight as a gift from God. All you need to do is take it gratefully. But God had to pay a lot in order that you might have it. It's not cheap. Just about 9 months ago, I was over in Scotland from Ireland, and I had a young Irishman with me. It was his first visit to Scotland, and I took him to the capital and proudly showed him around Edinburgh Castle. Of course, we went to the main place in the castle, the rooms of the crown jewels of Scotland are. And this young man, a school teacher, who had studied history, who taught history, he was amazed that Edinburgh and all the places of interest, but particularly the castle and the crown jewels. And as he stood in that room, He just looked at that dazzling crown. Although it is so old, it looked as if it had just been made yesterday. Sparkling and the red velvet, just as though it had just been manufactured. He looked in at the crown and the other jewels. Then he turned to the man in charge. There he stood proudly in his uniform and he said, "Tell me, sir, what is the estimated value of these crown jewels?" And the Jewish Scot, he just uttered one word: "They're priceless. They're priceless." But my Irish friend wasn't satisfied with that. "Come on," he said, "they must have some estimated value. What is the value of them? There must be some figure." The Scots guard looked at him and said, "Young man, do you know that on one day 20,000 of Scotland's best young men gave their lives for that cross? Can you put a value on that?" My dear friend, the salvation that I have is priceless. 20,000 of Scotland's best men could not buy it with their lives. Look to Calvary's cross and see the price it was paid. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that was the price. And when you look at Calvary and remember that the one who died on that cross was the one who made heaven and earth, and down he came becoming a man and dying in your place, shedding his blood. My dear friend, it's a costly thing. It's a costly thing, this salvation. It costs so much. But you get it as a gift tonight. You have it as a free gift from God. Isn't it a great salvation? God's salvation is great. It is great because it's for all. It is great because it is easily obtained by anyone. But then there's another reason why it's great. God's salvation is great because it's not only for all, it's not only easily obtained by anyone, but this salvation is the only salvation there is. It's the only salvation. There's a verse in the Bible and it says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other." There is no other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's no other. This is the only salvation. While a thing is scarce, its value increases. You know that, don't you? When something is scarce or rare, its value is high. When I used to live in Guyana, it was a land of luscious fruits. My favorite fruit was the pineapple. It was lovely after preaching in a hot tropical country to come home and just take a big pineapple and cut a slice, and how refreshing it was to eat. I can remember going to the market one day to buy a pineapple. I entered through the main gate and I looked around, and every stall had a big pile of like a heap of pineapples. I said, how much are they today? She said, sir, only 1 shilling each. Great big pineapple for 1 shilling. And I took it home, and how I enjoyed it. A few days later, I was back again. And when I went into the market this day, I looked around, and there wasn't a pineapple to be seen. They had all gone. But I went over to the old Indian woman once more, and I said to her, no pineapples today. And with a gleam in her eyes, she pushed her hand into her canton and pulled out a big pineapple. She said, sir, it's the only one in the market. The only one in the market. I said, how much? And with a smile on her face, she said, 5 shillings. Five, a few days before, 1 shilling. But now it's 5 shillings. The same pineapple, the only one, and so its value rises high. My dear friend, there is salvation for you tonight. If you know that you are a sinner, and that you're not right with God, that you're not ready for heaven, you can be saved tonight. You can have salvation tonight. God has provided it. He's provided it at great cost. But let me tell you, this salvation, purchased by Jesus on the cross, offered to you tonight as a gift, is the only salvation there is. There's no other. If this salvation is not yours, you have no salvation. If Jesus is not your Savior, you have no Savior. There's only one. I wonder if you will receive Him tonight. Wonder if you'll come to the Lord Jesus Christ and put your confidence in Him. Put your trust in Him. That's how you say. God's salvation is great. Because it's for all. It's for you. God's salvation is great because it is easily obtained. It's a gift. God's salvation is great because it's the only salvation there is. But we read another verse of scripture tonight which describes God's salvation as eternal. Eternal. I have a salvation. I received it when I was a boy of 15 years of age. And the salvation that I got then, it's mine tonight. After those years have rolled past, this salvation is still mine. And if I come back here in 10 years' time, I would still have that salvation. I have that salvation the day I die. And I'll have that salvation for all eternity. It is eternal in salvation. Eternal, my dear friend. There are some people and they say, oh, I would like to be saved. I would like to trust Christ. But if I did that tonight, what about tomorrow? Would I be able to keep it? This is a common expression by some people. If I were to trust Jesus Christ tonight, receive this gift, would I be able to keep it? My dear friends, you don't understand this salvation when you speak like that. You don't have to keep anything. When you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and put your confidence in Him, cast yourself upon Him and depend on Him. It is He who does the keeping. I wonder, would you trust yourself to Him tonight? Bible says about the Savior, the one who died on that cross, paid the great price, he's now alive again. He's at God's right hand. The Bible says he's able to save right through to the end, to the very uttermost, all who come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth. My dear friend, Jesus is able to save you tonight because he once died for you. Jesus is able to save you for the rest of your life and for all eternity because he lives forever at God's right hand. It's wonderful to have such a Savior. It's wonderful to have a Savior who doesn't just save you for a night, who doesn't just save you for a week, who doesn't just save you for a month or a year. He saves you right through to the end. One evening we were discussing whether it were possible for a person to be saved and then lost again. My dear friend, Jesus would be a poor Savior if a man could be saved and lost again. Jesus would be a poor Savior if a man could be saved and lost again. Whenever a boy or a girl, a man or a woman comes as a helpless sinner and puts himself into the hands of Jesus and commits himself to him, he undertakes, and he's a mighty Savior, and he never loses anyone. He saves you right through to the end. I wonder if you're trusting in him tonight. It's eternal salvation. But this salvation is not only great and eternal, it is called common salvation. Lots of people don't like things that are common. Young lady doesn't like to fly down to Aberdeen to buy a new hat and a new coat and then come back again to that way to come to the church and find that the young lady sitting in front has the very same hat, the very same coat. No, no, it's like something different. My dear friend, salvation's a common thing. There's only one salvation for the rich and for the poor. There's only one salvation for the educated and the uneducated. There's only one salvation for the aged and for the young. All people who are saved, they've got the same salvation. If there's a millionaire in Berwick tonight, and he's a saved man, he's only got the same salvation as poor Robert McCluckie has. If the Queen of England tonight is a saved lady, and I trust she is, she's only got the same salvation that I have. Salvation's a common thing. We refer to the great preacher, Mr. Moody. Let me refer in closing to the great preacher, Mr. Spurgeon. He was preaching in his great tabernacle. I love to think of that tabernacle because our hall in Dublin, Merrion Hall, is an exact replica of Spurgeon's tabernacle. And as he was preaching in his great tabernacle, people of all stations of life came to listen to him, from Queen Victoria on the throne to beggars on the streets of London. They crowded in to hear that wonderful man of God tell God's great salvation. One night a lady drove up in her horse-drawn coach. She listened and she waited behind to speak to Mr. lady, he said, excuse me, madam. Your name? Lady Source. Yes. Did you have a servant girl who came to my services 2 weeks ago and she waited behind and she trusted Jesus Christ for salvation? Her name is, and he mentioned the name of the girl. The titled lady wasn't very pleased. She blushed and she said, well, that is the name of my cook. Well, he said, madam, I want to tell you, if you're going to be saved tonight, you'll need to be saved in the very same way as your cook. She was angry. She rose from her seat. She turned her back upon the preacher. And she said, if I have to be saved in the same way as my servant, I'll never be saved. And as she walked away, Mr. Spurgeon said, yes, my dear lady, if you're not saved in the same way as your cook, you'll never be saved. My dear friends, if you're not saved the same way that I was saved, the same way that other Christians here were saved, the same way that Christians all over the world and down through the ages have been saved, by coming as needy sinners and putting your confidence in the sinner's Savior, you'll never be saved. It's a common salvation. Everyone who arrives on the shores of heaven will have one common testimony. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Would you like to have that salvation tonight? You could have it right now. If only you would turn to the Lord Jesus. He's ready, he's willing, he's able to save you now. Trust in him and be saved now and for all eternity. Now we're going to sing our closing hymn. Hymn number 273. Only a step to Jesus, then why not take it now? Come and thy sin confessing, to him thy Savior bow. Only a step to Jesus, oh, why not come and say, gladly to thee, my Savior, I give myself away. We shall sing the first, the third, and the final stanzas only.
Thank you.
God our Father, we come to thee at the end of this gospel service. We thank thee for everyone present. We thank thee for thy goodness to each one of us. We thank thee, O God, for sparing our unworthy lives until this moment. We thank thee for giving us a good measure of health and strength. We thank thee for so ordering our circumstances and making it possible for us to attend this gospel meeting on this first Sunday evening of 1971. Oh God, we thank thee for everyone tonight who is living in the enjoyment of this great salvation. We thank thee, Father, for each person here tonight who shares with every child of God this common salvation. But, oh God, we think tonight of any in our gathering who are not yet saved. Oh, Father, we pray that right now, in the closing moment of this meeting, some boy or girl, some man or woman, will lift up their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as their very own. We ask thee now to part us with thy blessing and remember us during our week of meeting. May we know thy presence tomorrow night again, for Christ our Redeemer's sake. Amen.